Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the Al Franken podcast ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Hey, everybody. We've got a great one today with a basketball player, you know, for a change. Bill Walton, the NBA Hall of Famer. He was named one of the top 75 NBA players in the 75-year history of the NBA. And I know I've gotten to know Bill over the decades because he and I are both big deadheads, huge deadheads. He more than me. He's been to over 1,000 shows. I've been to maybe 50, 60 shows. Funny story, Bernie Cahill, the manager for the Grateful Dead, told me once that when sometimes, you know, important people want tickets and he has to kind of give them good tickets. But if someone like is a kind of a little bit of a jerk about it and keeps insisting on great seats, Bernie told me he always put them right behind Bill, right behind Walton, who's 6'11". And I enjoyed that story. As I said, I've known Bill. He's a very, very, you'll find he's an extremely energetic guy, but there was a point, and he's written he wrote this book a few years ago, Back from the Dead, and it has a kind of a dead, Grateful Dead theme to it. And it starts off when he is literally on the floor on his back at his lowest point and in tremendous pain. And it was like this for about 4.5 years and finally had some back surgery. It saved his life, essentially. And he was at his very bottom. And I think you'll see from this our conversation that, boy, that's not – he's a very, very passionate, optimistic, wonderful, wonderful guy. And I know that you're going to enjoy this. Bill Walton, and he's a good friend. You'll see he says some really nice things about me to the point where I'm a little embarrassed, but I can edit. That's the thing. We can edit this. So no, you'll hear some of it, but it's probably 8 to 10 times that amount. And so it's a little embarrassing. But you're going to – this one is just – a delightful one with a basketball Hall of Famer, you know, for a change. The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's convenient courses have helped me learn real-life conversation in German. For example, let's say you wanted to order soup with your dinner. Die Suppe würde mir auch gefallen. That means the soup. That means I would also like the soup. And that way, I get soup with dinner. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/franken. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/franken, spelled babbel.com/franken. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, here we go. Man, I've been looking for you. I've been searching for the bright side of the road for so long, and all that hits me, I'm just bombarded with evil every single day. Please, I need a vaccine. I need a vaccine for hypocrisy. I need a vaccine for nonsensical absurdity. Please, I need another book. Well, man, we've got to get rid of the big fat idiots. We got to get rid of the lying liars and the lying.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for remembering.
I'm looking for a giant who I can stand on their shoulders and try to do something positive once in my life here. I'm looking for the truth. And here I am sitting here finally finding my great friend, the true giant among us, Al Franken.
I don't know if people realize it, but Bill just hit every one of my number one New York Times bestsellers. Now you use you.
I'm a fan. I know you are. And I love you. And I just can't believe that you're not in my life every single day. So I just have all these books and I have all these recordings and I have all these videos and I have everything that just kind of brings it all together for me. But then the minute I step outside, I'm just bombarded. I try so hard to wake up in the morning and do something positive to help the world be better. And I live by the motto of be better, do more. And then every single day, man, I just come across people that like, they wake up in the morning and they want to do the worst thing in the world. So I am so glad to be on this screen. I just want to reach out and just give you a big hug and just say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, we need more energy, Bill.
Well, I'm fired up.
I love you, man. We've go way back. And
what do you want to talk about? So,
well, I want to talk about your back.
My back. My spine is doing fantastic. Now, it wasn't always the way. It wasn't always the case because I broke my spine when I was 21. And I was at UCLA and I was playing.
Some asshole undercut you, right?
I was high above the basket. Now, I love being high above the basket, man. I love just traveling around up there and flying and having the grand old time. So here I was undercut, and it was just an awful situation. And I flipped over and I landed flat on my back on a tartan floor, the innovation of the day, right? We're going to make this better. Let's just have these guys who were used to playing on wood, which is flexible, which is giving, which has got the 2 or 3 inch cushion of air underneath it. Let's just make it a solid rubber slab. I mean, it was basically like what you would hope they would put down instead of fossil fuel asphalt, right? And so although the plastics are fossil fuels too, I mean, we got to somehow find a way to get rid of all this stuff. And so here it was that I broke my spine and I spent 11 days in the hospital. And then I got up and things were really never the same for me again. And I just sort of...
But you played that year after breaking your back.
I played 11 days later. I broke my back on January 7th, 1974. Not that I remember the date. And then the next time I played was January 19th, 1974, and we lost the 88-game winning streak that day. Not that I remember the date or the details or the facts, but you know, it's hard to play basketball with a broken back.
Now you start the book, you're flat on your back, you're depressed, you don't think you're going to ever get off your back.
But there was no reason for me to believe I was going to get better. You know, I needed to kill myself because there was just no hope. Because the path to happiness in life is your health, your family, your team, your home, your sanctuary, and then the hope and dream that tomorrow's going to be better. And while my family had stayed with me and stayed there. We still had our home. That was tenuous. It's all tenuous when you lose your health. It's tragic in America, the way you put it out in Giant of the Senate when you talked about that, you know, the health care challenges that our country faces, and it's just embarrassing and disgraceful and magnificent. And I was ready to vote right then and there. I was ready to march. I was ready to show up and, you know, just maybe get an Al Franken tattoo across my forehead there and everything. But I had lost everything, including my dignity, my self-respect, and I had no hope and dream that it was going to be better. And I had no idea how hard this journey would be. I had no idea that it had had a chance of working. And when you have a bad back, you are bombarded by people who will tell you it's over. There's no hope possible. Don't have back surgery. It'll only make things worse. And I had no idea the advances, the technological, the scientific, the medical advances that have been made in spine surgery and in all of health. And so the only thing I can say to everybody else, and I say this on a constant basis, when something's wrong, go tell somebody who knows what they're doing.
Well, you got surgery from somebody.
Dr. Steve Garfin, UC San Diego Health, saved my life. Little tiny guy from the Midwest, like John Wooden, but a true giant, just like you. You know, a little tiny guy from the Midwest, from Minnesota, Steve Garfin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, came to San Diego in the late 60s and just changed all of our lives.
You describe what you were going through then, and that was a bottom, a long lasting bottom. That wasn't
4.5 years. It had been a progressive thing. It wasn't like one moment. There was one moment, February 24th, 2008, not that I remember the date. There was one moment when I could no longer go. I could no longer move. I could no longer get off the ground. But there was a long series of years and years of just agony with the birth defects in my feet, the knee injuries that suffered from being taken down, and then the broken spine when I was 21, and then living in a world built for preschool children. You know, when you're at home, you're on your bike or you're in the gym, you know, everything fits. But when you know, try being 6'11" and being on an airplane every day. Try being 6'11" and trying to check into a hotel. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Walton. We only have a single bed, and the shower. Oh, the ceiling in the shower is only 6'5", and the toilet is 6 inches off the ground, and the mirror only goes up to somebody who is 6'4". And so in the closets, and you have to duck it through every single.
I thought it'd be funny if we did this whole interview with your head just the lower. You're above the screen.
You want me to do that? You want me to put it like that? Okay.
So
I love Al Franken. Oh my gosh. I'm finding the bright side of the road, although you keep taking me back to all these dark days. But suicide is, and mental health issues are very, very serious. And you know, as an athlete, you train yourself, you know, that you know, I can do this and I'm gonna make it. And then when your body fails, man,
very physically active. I know you love biking and you're so physically active now.
I'm 69 years old, but I'm doing fantastic. And when you're old and in the way like I am, you're in a situation where there's three things you can do. There's three things. You're in the water, in the pool, in the weight room, and on your bike. And I do all those three things. Now, in the pool, everything's great. When you're in the weight room, everything is great because, you know, you're in a controlled environment and you got the music going and, you know, Bright Side of the Road, See What Love Can Do, and all, you know, everybody, Neil Young and John Fogerty and Bob Dylan, and it just keeps rolling, right?
Same generation. I
got the bike race. I got the bike race there up on my streaming service, and it's just fantastic. But then, you know, I do fly on the airplanes. And when you ride your bike and when you fly on airplanes, you see the best of humanity and you also see the worst of humanity. And it's just, I feel just awful. I feel awful for the flight attendants because there is no more confined space other than isolation in a prison than being on an airplane. And so here, these flight attendants who work so darn hard, and they always have this, you know, smile on their face and everything. But the flight attendants, you know, they have the third worst job in the history of the world.
Okay.
You know, the second worst job is the guy that does my travel. And then and the worst job of all is my wife, Lori, because but she's still here after all these years.
She trains service dogs, right?
Yes, she does. But she had to stop when the children left. So we had four children, right? And then and nine grandchildren. And then my older brother died. You know, he was a football player and he had just tons and tons of health issues. The last couple of years were terrible. And just before the pandemic, he couldn't make it anymore. And so he had two adult children who were same age as our adult children. And so we adopted them and their five granddaughters. So now Lori and I, we have six children and 14 grandchildren. And up until the point where the children, were really gone, you know, when they left home, Lori had started taking the responsibility of raising service dogs. And then when I went down on the 24th of February, 2008, then she had to stop because taking care of me was a full-time job. Now she's fully invested in the program still, but not raising the dogs themselves. And right now she's involved with this organization called Freedom Dogs, which provides free service. All the organizations provide the free service dogs. I mean, and that's why the fundraising is so necessary constantly. And so, but this current organization focuses on our military personnel, because sadly in our country, more service personnel in our country commit suicide than die in combat.
And by far.
So Lori raises the service dogs to present to the service people who are coming back, who are fighting for us and sacrificing everything in their lives. And so they get the service dog and they reestablish the connection with the team, with the communication. There is nothing as valuable as the team, man, because the team, the family, the group, the guys, I mean, they'll carry you when you're down. It's like a bike race. You know, the guy who wins the bike race, he's totally indebted to everybody that helps him.
Well, you know, my first piece of legislation was to do a study on the benefits of service dogs with vets with PTSD.
Right.
And we matched 200 dogs with 200 vets. And it took the study that was supposed to be a 3-year study took 10 years, but the results were that the return on investment is huge. And because of that, they just passed, I wasn't there for this, the PAWS Act, but it means that vets with PTSD are going to be able to get service dogs.
One of the reasons I love you is you do stuff like that. But I've already told you that I love you on this show.
Yes.
And so but one of the reasons that I love the NBA is that their studies are not long-term studies. They get all the smartest people together and they say, okay, we got a problem. How are we going to fix this? And by the time they end the conversation, they're on their way to the solution and the ability to change on the fly. I mean, that's what the players do during the course of the game. You make your adjustments. You make your different calculations. You change your strategy. But you don't need to practice strategy. You need to practice skill. And so when you're out there playing, you know, the strategy comes up and you in 10 or 20 seconds, you figure out what you got to do next. And that's where you got to have really smart people. And the NBA got a lot of that.
Let's talk about the Final Four now, has been established.
Yeah.
I've been watching as much as I can.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it.
And one of the things that's sad to me is that they play the women's games at the same time as the men's games.
Yeah, that's silly.
And so it sort of changes the women, and that's just right because
they're running ads saying the NCAA we don't have enough airtime for the women.
Right, but the games are played at the same time, and it's frustrating as to me because I love women's basketball, and I particularly love the Stanford team. And I had gone to Stanford years and years ago as a graduate student when I was told I would never play basketball. And so I have a direct affinity with Stanford. And then one of our children went to Stanford graduate school as well after going to Princeton undergrad. I love Ivy League basketball and I love women's basketball. And I really love Princeton basketball. And I really love Stanford women's basketball. The way they play, the style. If you're ever feeling bad about life, then just turn on the TV and watch Tara Vanderveer's women's Stanford team play, because they are a thing of beauty. They're the defending champions, and they're playing in the Final Four right now, and it's just going to be spectacular. Now, the South Carolina, Dawn Staley, they got a terrific team, different than Stanford. The Stanford players are smaller. They're very much the way that John Wooden was looking for the players that he had, particularly in the early days. You know, things changed for Coach Wooden when Kareem showed up. And Kareem never played a game in his life, never, where he wasn't the number one focus of the other team. But it wasn't always like that. So, you know, Coach Wooden, he had two teams, two championship teams, and the tallest guy on the team was 6'5". But then he had Kareem for 3 years. He had Sidney Wicks for 2 years, and I was 6'11".
We're going to take a break for a moment. We'll be right back.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Let's turn to the men's, if that's okay, because
the men.
My son-in-law went to Duke.
Yeah.
So he's, and
Duke has the best team, and they have the best players. And one thing that Coach Wooden was really, and so much of my whole foundation, so much of my whole philosophy comes from John Wooden and Chick Hearn, who were the incredible people who created the culture and why basketball is popular in Southern California. And, you know, here was Chick on the air every single day. And here right. was John Wooden, who woke up every single day and said, hey, what can I do to make the world a better place? And he used the vehicle of the platform of sports and basketball in particular, although baseball was his number one love. But he just used that to promote the positive values that we try to create, implement, absorb, and then spread in our own personal lives. You know, find the bright side of the road and see what love can do, which are the songs that you kept telling me to turn off before we started this show. Because I listen to music on a constant basis.
How many Dead concerts have you been to?
Not enough. I mean, I've been over 1,000. Oh, okay. I started going when I was 15. And that was 1967, two years.
So I've seen you at many, many a concert.
Right.
And so
how could you tell it was me?
For the same reason that this story is hilarious. So Bernie Cahill, the manager of the band, he told me that when some kind of important guy kept demanding really great tickets to the concert,
right,
Bernie would finally just give him the seat behind you.
The worst seat in the house.
Yes.
Because I'm standing up.
And because you stand up the whole time.
I stand up the whole time.
Everybody now, knows where Walton is.
So there were times, there were years when I couldn't stand up because of my health issues.
Yeah.
But now I can stand up again. And so it's fit to be back in the pit. Although Lori can't stand the pit because she's standing there at a navel height for everybody else.
Oh, that's right. Lori is much, she is much.
She's the true giant in our family. When I walk through the crowd looking for my space, right, where I'm going to find the spot that I'm going to stop, I can hear him talking, don't stop here. I hope he doesn't stop here. Please keep going.
So let me just tell folks from your point of view
right.
about the Dead.
It's so fun. And it's so happy, and it's so inspirational, it's so educational, it's so full of all the things that I believe in life. People working together, people searching for something that's better, that's purer, that is a kinder, gentler world as it can, could, and should be. And I'm a deadhead. We are everywhere, and we are everyone. And so as you go through life, and I constantly mentor young people, and that's one of the reasons why I love broadcasting college basketball games, because I get to spend my days on college campuses. I get to spend my day with college student athletes, guys and women who are trying to make it and trying to create this world that they can survive and thrive in and be happy and build their own families and all the things that we've already done in our lives. And so with the Grateful Dead, I found it the very first time I went. I was 15 years old, and I got there, and I just couldn't believe how happy everybody was, and how full of hope and joy and optimism that, hey man, we're gonna make it, it's gonna happen. And then the music starts, right? And everybody just starts smiling even more and growing taller and just so full of everything good. And then the music stops and everybody looks around and says, where and when is the next show? And let's get going to that too.
Well, the thing about the Dead that I think some people don't understand, first of all, the songs are brilliant, but it's just the most, I mean, to me, it's all a thing. It's all inspiring to be there.
It's healing too. It's healing. And it gives me confidence. To me, all the songs, no matter how they play them, it's different to me because I'm a different person. I'm a different person every time I go because different things
have
happened to me that day. And I'm in a different mood. And I've had something great happen. I've had something terrible happen. And it's just the mixture of so I prepare for the shows. I mean, I get ready to make sure I prepare for the show the same way I prepare for coming on your show, the same way I prepare for going on a television.
You did. You burst with references.
I'm ready, man. And so because I want to be healed. You know, when I come in your presence, I want to absorb everything that I possibly can. And the same thing with the Grateful Dead or Bob Dylan or Neil Young, John Fogerty or Jimmy Cliff or endless Jackson Brown, Beach Boys, Rolling Stones, Bruce Springsteen. It's an endless list, and they're all still going. And I couldn't be happier. And I'm so glad that the pandemic, we're starting to learn how to live with that. But I just don't understand. I mean, I'm looking for a vaccine against hypocrisy. I'm looking for a vaccine against absurd nonsense. And so, but all I'm getting right now is a vaccine for COVID.
Can I ask you something about?
You ask me whatever you want.
Okay, a couple like issues in. Okay, paying athletes in the NCAA.
I'm for anything that brings the money down. We spend too much time. Why are we spending time worrying about people at the top? I mean, I don't get this at all. I mean,
no. Well, we're sick. The society is sick.
We do not need to worry about the people at the top. But you know, we got tons of problems in our country, you know, and you know, we have, you know, people need to eat, people need to have a house, people need to get educated, people need to get health care.
Amen. And Biden actually has announced that he's going to do a wealth tax.
Well, it's about time. That's what I love about the NBA. The NBA sees a problem, they say, let's fix it, let's change this.
That's right. Why is the NBA so great in that regard, and why is the NFL so bad?
Well, I think it comes back to David Stern and what David Stern did in creating the culture. David Stern, and he's a little tiny guy, right? But the biggest guy in all. David Stern's the most important man in the history of basketball because he never shot a basket at all. But he made a game into a business. And what a business it's become, you know, hugely successful. And he changed with the times. All the different things that the NBA is different. He had to be talked into the globalization aspect. He had to be talked into the gambling aspect. All progress requires change, but not all change is progress. And so when you make the change, it drives me nuts when we study the racial history of our country. And
oh boy.
and all these people will say, we can never do that. That will be the end of life as we know it. And
that what will be? Looking at our history,
if we make this change, if we allow Black people to participate in the world, or if we allow women to play sports, or if we allow same-sex marriage, or if we allow people to smoke marijuana, or if we allow anything, they'll always tell you that'll never work. And if we did do that, life would end. Life as we know it would end. And then they give you that when small progress is being made, they will say, well, you're going too fast. You have to make these steps in due time. And that is just ridiculous. And so one of the things that David Stern was just so fantastic about was that he was willing, number one, he was willing to use basketball as a vehicle, as a platform for positive social change. And then he was willing to provide opportunity and inclusion and say, hey, man, we're all in this together. And David and his wife, Diane, just absolutely incredible human beings that happened to get to the very top.
Can you contrast that? Can you contrast that with the NFL? Do you have a perspective on that? You're a sports broadcaster, so I imagine you have some thoughts on that.
Yes, the NFL is different. And it's I'm glad I'm in basketball.
Okay. Because
basketball is the perfect game. It never really stops. You know, they put the ball in the air and it's let's go. Like one of the beautiful things about playing for John Wooden is that he knew it was about players. You know, he lived by the mantra that players make plays, plays don't make players. And so in John Wooden's world, we never watched film. He never
Isn't
used
that
the
amazing. Run. That's amazing. Also, you didn't really have set plays. You he created,
had no play.
Right?
He had no plays. He never used the blackboard. You're like, He was the first great player in basketball, and he felt his job as the coach was to make you the next great basketball player, and he knew how to do that. We only had five or six drills. He invented all the drills, and he never called timeout. He thought timeouts were admissions of defeat that only gave the other team a chance to regroup, and he never started practice with these words. So what do you guys want to do today? He had a plan. He was the teacher. And, things he did today have been proven wrong. You know, the nutritional aspects that we were not allowed to drink water during the games. We were not.
Really?
You know, yeah. there was no towels. There was no talking. There was no chairs. There was no water. It was just like, okay, you know, we're in shape. This game's only going to last for 2 hours. You'll be fine. Let's go. So we learned to drink all our water before the game started, before the practice started. Our games were memorized exhibitions of brilliance, which were slow and which were easy compared to what the practices were like. Because he had a second string that was just magnificent. He knew that his greatest ally, the greatest weapon, the greatest strength, the greatest power that the coach has is the bench. And he was never afraid to put anybody on the bench. And we knew that. And we believed that. And we were terrified of the guy, even more so of his wife. Yeah.
Now, you were, okay, number one draft pick, right? Coming out of college.
Yeah.
And you're a Hall of Famer, of course.
Yeah.
Where are you in the pantheon? Where do they put you? Where are you? Are you one of the...
I'm a member of the NBA's last two all-time teams, the NBA at 50, which was 1997 in Cleveland, and then just this past February 18th, not that I remember the date, but I was also a member of the NBA 75 team. And then just coming up, just after the Final Four, and how cool is it that the NBA celebrating its 75th year this year, and that's exactly how old Kareem is. And Kareem is 75, and we're having a 75th birthday for him coming up right after the Final Four, and it'll be just fantastic. We'll be able to wish the guy happy birthday. Although when we played against, we're of the era where if they weren't on your team, they were the enemy, man, and we were ready to fight.
That's what I get out of your book.
there was no hugging and kissing with the other team before the games. And there was not this, you know, they didn't have the congratulations line at the end, you know, where the two teams walked by each other. Mm-hmm. No, that was not the deal then. And that was fine with me. Because, you know, I played to win. Bill Russell was my hero, and I was not interested in losing and not interested in the other team. But now that we don't play anymore, I mean, we're all friends, and it's right. Fine. I just hope that when the trash talking starts at Kareem's birthday party, that nobody goes up and slaps the speaker, man. That's just like, I don't really get that. You know, I read this fantastic book recently called Robin by David Itzhoff. And just a 600-page masterpiece of Robin Williams. And it's just absolutely incredible, because I know that you do stand up and just how hard that is, and that life. And, you know, it was just an incredible story of this really brilliant guy, the same brilliance that you radiate all the time.
Well, there's he was unique, and...
He was different. He was like you, like Kareem. He was just different, and he was just better.
I don't sweat when I do my thing.
I sweat.
Well, I sweat when basketball. I sleep.
I sweat when I sleep. I wake up in a full sweat all the time. You know, I just dream all these just absolutely vivid, you know, colorful, wild dreams, and it's just fantastic, and I love it.
And that's great.
Yeah, and so you know, when
do
I
you
was
remember reading, your dreams
sometimes okay. when I first wake up, but then I can't reconstruct them. You know, Lori always describes my mind as being like a slot machine.
I have a thing with my wife where if I have a dream and like a very vivid dream, and I say to her, "I really had this vivid dream. You want to hear about it?" And she says, "No." And that's it's like every fucking time I go for it. I had this unbelievable dream. Do you want to hear it? No.
So I have the same situation. in that when I ride my bike, which for me is a dream.
I
construct, you know, whenever I need a new idea, whenever I need a new path, a new innovation deal, then I go in the weight room first. I go in the weight room every day, and I turn the music on. I turn the bike race on the TV, and I just get in the space right away. And then and the same thing with my bike. But the bike is a totally different thing, because you cannot have any exterior noise other than the cars, which you're dodging on a constant basis. And so I'll get home from a bike ride, right? And I'll just be covered with sweat and grease and blood and sunscreen and everything. And I'll just come in. I'll be so fired up. I mean, it's just like basically when the Grateful Dead show ends, right? You're so fired up and you're ready to do anything, and you convince yourself that anything is possible, including positive change. And so here I come in the front door and I'll look at her with this dazed, crazed look, and I'll say, "Man, I got an idea." And she'll say, "Oh, great." And then she'll say, "Just remember, big boy, I wasn't part of that 6-hour one-way conversation that you just had." And then she'll turn quickly and she'll say, go jump in the swimming pool, take a shower, and then we'll talk.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're married to similar women.
So Lori's the greatest everything ever in my life. And I mean, she's just...
Well, there we go.
I never thought that I would be happy in love. And I never thought that I would be healthy. I never thought I'd be free of pain. Now, my health is limited in that there's things I cannot do, but there's a lot of things I can do. And that's what I focus in on doing. And that's why when I love reading your books about the big fat idiot, when I love reading your books about the lies and the lying liars that tell them, when I read The Giant in the Senate, and when I read The Truth, I just burst out laughing. All the different things that you've done in your life, and when you tell the stories, and it's just like I'm just sad that I'm not going to be able to catch the currently on tour because
you're going to be at the final four,
and your son goes to Duke.
No, my son-in-law went to Duke.
Okay.
Yeah, he's he's kind of a nut. Duke, you know.
Well, that's called pride. It's called loyalty. That's called loyalty.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So be happy that he has
good
that.
Thing.
One thing we didn't get to here, I've tried to get to it, is that when I mentor young people, and you know, I always encourage them, find something in your life like I have the Grateful Dead in my life. Because basketball and the Grateful Dead, from the time I started playing basketball when I was 8. I started with the Grateful Dead when I was 15. And from the very beginning, they gave me hope, opportunity, and purpose. And over the years, now that I'm 69 years old, I've added to hope, opportunity, and purpose. I have added pride, loyalty, and gratitude. Pride, the satisfaction with our choices, the satisfaction that I picked up the big fat idiot book and I roared with laughter, the pride that I picked up lies and the lying liars you tell them, and I just couldn't believe it. All you have to do is just Google this information and you'll find that it's absolutely nonsense and ridiculous. Please give us a vaccine, Dr. Franken. And then the giant of the Senate and the truth and all this stuff. And so the pride, the satisfaction with our choices, we stand there at the fork in the road. Are we willing to stand there at the fork in the road and make the right choice? The right choice that is going to take us to the bright side. It's going to see what love can do. And then the gratitude, the respect, the admiration, the appreciation for the people that went before us. And when we had the NBA 75 celebration, and when you asked about the Pantheon, it's a team. It's a team, and everybody's on the team. There's 75 of us. It's actually 76 because there was a tie in the voting. And so there's 76 guys, and it's just so special. And the thing about it now, it gets better as you keep going. And so when I got home from Cleveland in the NBA 75, I quickly sent Adam Silver, who has taken over magnificently from David Stern, who passed away. And then the guy who took Adam's place, Mark Tatum. I mean, these two guys are just fantastic. And I wrote them both. And I just said, hey, man, that was the greatest time ever, NBA 75. I've already put NBA 100 on my list. 2047, let's get going here. And so
you'll only be, 95, right? 96?
I'll be 94 then.
And, 94.
I'm ready to go. It's on my calendar.
You were born in 52 or 53?
52.
52. November
52. And I'm the second of four children, and I'm the oldest surviving child. And both of our parents are gone. And I'm the luckiest guy in the world, though, because Lori's still here and you still take my calls.
Bill, cheer up.
I'm happy.
I know.
I'm happy because I got another chance in my life when Dr. Garfin fixed my spine.
Yeah.
And when you know, health is
that is the beginning of Back from the Dead. And I you know what? My producer got me the book, and so I love this damn thing.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to say something here.
Well, I know, but I get you promoted every one of my books 5 times. So
look, you're my hero. You stand tall. You stand proud. You know, you stand up in the face of hypocrisy. You stand up in the face of absurd nonsense. And you say, wait a second, this cannot be. And we're not going to let this stand. And so the lives that we lead a privileged life. Privilege in the lives we've had. Privilege in the chances that we have in front of us here. Privilege, that carries with it responsibility. Duty and obligation. And so we have to do that same thing, that same creation for other people. Dr. Garfin, his sacrifice in his life, our military personnel who sacrifice everything in their lives so that we can have these privileges here. We owe other people that same opportunity, that same privilege that we just take for granted. And I got to make the most of the time I have because I spent half my adult life in the hospital. I spent my entire adult life never thinking that I would be happily married. And I'm madly in love with my wife, Lori, more so than ever before. And I'm healthy as can be. And I know I'm healthy in that, yes, I can't do a lot of things I would like to do, like go to the Sierra and hike. I need totally level ground for walking. I don't walk for fun. I walk for function. But I can ride my bike. I can go places on my bike. Mostly, though, I can go places in my mind, and I can read, and I can think, and I can dream, I can hope, I can plan for tomorrow. And as I was planning for today, and I was thinking, hey, man, I'm going to be able to spend time with Al Franken. I'm going to be able to ricochet through the universe. And I am going to get all this knowledge and all this information and all this confidence and all this healing power that, yes, little Billy with his red hair and his freckles and his big nose and his goofy, nerdy looking face and his horrendous speech impediment, being a lifelong stutterer and being a deadhead, man, I'm going to have a chance. I'm going to have a chance to be a part of something special. I'm part of the currently on tour. Here we go. Thank you, Al. I love you. Say hi to Franny. Say hi to the children. Good luck to your Duke team. They're a fantastic team, fantastic program. And Coach K, yep, he's among the best.
Thanks, Bill. And hope to see you soon. And
I love you. The tour hopefully will start up, but we never know until they announce. Yeah. We never know until they walk on stage. Let's go.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. That beautiful music is by Leo Kottke, the great Leo Kottke. I want to thank Peter Ogburn for producing this podcast. We'll talk again next week. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Al Franken podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you, like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.